What's up, everybody? It's your boy True Element 78 in the building with
your one and only reigning defending Mondo Lucha Hall of Famer, the X-Man, Xavier Mustafa.
And everybody's favorite narcissist, the natural Chris Black.
You know what? I'm going to really make you defend that Hall of Fame ring one day. It's been how many days now? Three years, so 365 days since you defended that Mondo Lucha Hall of Fame ring.
Who else is in the Mondo Lucha Hall of Fame?
Let's see. You have the GOAT. What's the GOAT name? El Chibes Blancas. I think that's how you say it.
Thought you meant the Hall GOAT. Bobby V.
Yep, he's in it. The Russian.
But I thought El Chico Blancas wasn't inducted into the Hall of Fame because he was too busy doing some sheep herding at State Fair.
No, he was inducted first. Then he did the sheep herding.
You said, who did the sheep herding?
Oh, said he got the ring, then he did the sheep herding.
Right. The Russian is in there. I believe Shockwave is in there. Those are the three I know off the top of my head.
Where's Randy Orton when you need him? Anyways, today is someday in April. That was a shit show already. Anyways, today is Saturday, April 24th, 2021. It's been a crazy week. You had 420. You had Derek Chauvin going to get his butt plugged officially. And Taco Tuesday and everything just going down. What's going on with you, Chris Black? How was your week? And you got any church announcements? We'll get it right into the church announcements.
I'm pretty sure Mustafa will cover the church announcement. I've got nothing else besides that. Trying to get my hand on some of that purple Urkel.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. We had our hometown hero, Ben Askren, get knocked out by Jacob Paul.
That was bullshit.
I think we're going to start covering some of these thriller events.
The ref was on some dumb shit, but anyway.
Didn't Thriller just buy Fight TV? Is that my understanding? What happened?
I haven't kept up with that. I can look it up while you run down your church announcement.
Sure. Well, Legacy Pro Wrestling will be returning to the Root River Center on May 1st. For our event that is called Ruckus at the Root River Center 2. Tickets are $20 and are available at legacypowi.com and facebook.com/legacypowi. Our own Chris Black will be in a no disqualification match when he tags with TC Washington to form the Urban Horsemen, one of the greatest factions in history. You know, they don't need me right now, so they got it. But
long reigning factions.
But one of the longest reigning as well, yep. And they'll be going against the Dark Match Mafia. And then we have Brown Sugar defending the Legacy Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship against Dastardly, but that's somebody else's gimmick. The Sneaky Sean Priest. And more matches to be announced. So hope to see everybody there.
Okay, so what it is that you can watch Triller on Fight TV and buy Fight TV.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, it's been a crazy week. And when it comes to one of the craziest things is it looks like the fans can stop with all the rumors of Ronda Rousey coming and taking that title belt off of Rhea Ripley, talking about Ronda Rousey coming back and facing Bianca Belair. Because just like Becky Lynch before her and Charlotte Flair allegedly before her, Ronda Rousey has been impregnated.
Listen, listen, Linda. I heard that you can wrestle all the way up to 3 weeks before the baby is born. All right. So that's no excuse.
3 weeks? God damn.
Yeah,
that
makes the baby strong. Right.
Yeah, if you wrestle like Xavier Mustafa would have to wrestle now. No, the Iron Sheik. If you wrestle like the Iron Sheik would was wrestling in 2012 or whatever that was. No bumps.
Okay, so we're talking about obviously, I guess, this weird week that we've been having. Okay, full disclosure, I turned on Monday Night Raw fully intended on actually watching all 3 hours of that bullshit. I made it all the way into the first match when the Viking Raiders came out to face the Hurt
Cedric.
Rejects, yeah. And then I turned it off. I did not want to see a rematch and fuck Raw.
You know, my love-hate relationship with Raw, like, when I watch something for 3 hours and I can't even remember anything about it, that's a problem.
Yeah, at this point, I pretty much like everything Raw except for sushi and Monday night. That's how I feel about Monday Night Raw. Like, it is such a slog. When I saw Mason T-Bar come out and take out,
McIntyre.
Yeah, I was about to say Matt Riddle, but he was in the next segment with Randy Orton. Yeah, when they came out and took out Drew McIntyre, and then they interviewed them backstage, like right after that, and they was like, Sabretooth Tiger, Tiger Bomb, blah, 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 that promo that they cut, I was like, this is some bullshit. And they summed it up best on F4W.com or WrestlingObserver.com, wherever you check them out at. But they're like, WWE is just a content company. That's all they are now. They're all about just making content. It doesn't matter if it's coherent. Doesn't matter if it makes sense. It's all about making content. But do you want to know one of the worst parts about Monday Night was that I believe this was their second or third highest viewed show of 2021,
which isn't saying much.
But it hit 1.9 million viewers,
which ain't shit.
Well, see, you know what? I listened to a great podcast called 83 Weeks, and one of the things that Bischoff said is generally your rating is based off what you did the prior week. So since they totally shit the bed this week, I would expect those viewerships to drop.
Well, they totally shit the bed last week. Last week's show was worse than this week's show.
Yeah, but I think people tuned in because they was like, wait a minute. The last one was the one at the WrestleMania. They failed on that one. They can't possibly fail 2 weeks in a row. And then everybody watched this week and it was like, oh, I guess they can. All right, let me turn this shit off.
I guess the question is, with WWE, is like, what are they doing? Are they just spinning their wheels? We all know they book week to week. This man comes in, rips up the script at the, you know, the ninth hour or whatever, and then they just put out some bullshit and a bunch of rematches. Like, honestly, I would hate to be a wrestler in that company right now because I'd feel like I have no idea what's going on, where I'm going, what direction they're taking my character. I'd just be totally lost. And that'll make somebody just not interested.
What needs to happen in the WWE is all these wrestlers, they need to get together. Like, I understand they don't want to rock the boat because they get them nice checks weekly, but they need to get together and say, okay, this is some dumbass shit. Let's redo this because I don't understand how y'all have two live shows a week. Y'all don't have house shows or anything anymore. So those house show resources should be helping write better stuff, and they should be producing a lot better stuff, especially when you don't have a lot to do. Like, what's the problem?
You would think. The problem is I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen. And when I say that, I mean, like, they have 50,000 writers, but then at the end of the day, Vince McMahon has the final say-so. But you have these multiple cooks in the kitchen trying to come up with all types of different stories. Some of them may be some gems, but we'd never know because Vince McMahon turns them down.
Yeah, how I feel is the best thing on Raw now just got suspended. And that was actually the return of Charlotte Flair. That was like the most interesting thing. Charlotte looks amazing now, by the way.
Yeah, I swear she got some work done while she was gone.
Oh yeah,
in the face.
But yeah. But yeah, Charlotte being back and the angle they were taking with her after the match with Asuka and her beating up the referee, that was adding a slight edge to Charlotte's character that was much needed because pretty much her whole stick for the past 4 years is I've won a lot of championships. That's pretty much been her entire heel character. And so they added a new dynamic to her which I also think it is always just foolish that how many referees do they have out there trying to pull Charlotte off of that, off of the one ref, and all of them seem like they were scared to touch Charlotte. Like, they're just letting her do her thing. Nobody's actually trying to break up anything. But again, I like that dynamic. I liked her being back. It added some star power to Monday nights. And now it seems in kayfabe she's been suspended. But how long will that last? They need as many people as they can get on that show. So I'm sure she'll be back on next week's Raw.
Look at that. That's one third of the women's division right now. There's Rhea Ripley, Asuka, and then Charlotte. That's it.
You gotta keep in mind with the whole Me Too movement and all that good stuff. You know, they can't have too many referees just reaching all over the place trying to separate the two. So, you know, they got to be real cautious.
Yeah, I do want to say I thought it was hilarious when Charlotte was cutting her a promo and she was calling everybody in the locker room haters and fake. And when she called them rats, I was like, the Charlotte know what a rat is, or they're actual rats back there in the back.
She has to know. She knew her daddy was around a bunch of them.
You know, one thing I want to say.
So I want to know who the rats are. Hey, say names.
One thing I can say about that promo, though, is probably the realest promo we've got on Raw in a long time. I felt what she was saying.
Yeah, besides when Randy Orton was cutting all those promos on Edge. That was great promo work.
Oh, yeah, when he RKO'd Beth Phoenix out her boots.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other big thing that happened on Raw was Mason T-Bar actually unmasking, finally. Now we'll see if they can gonna sink or swim.
They're going to sink. Or, even if they were good enough, which Dijakovic is, Dio, Matt, he still needs to prove himself. But it's going to be the booking that destroys them. Their booking just, WWE's booking is just atrocious, and it ruins everybody. I'm just not going to let up on that. I think that WWE is just, they've really reached a low point right now, in my opinion.
I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, when you were a kid, if you had, like, too many toys to play with, you don't really get to play with any of them effectively. Maybe that's the situation.
Yeah, but they still don't even know what to do with the toys that they do focus on.
But NXT is flourishing right now, besides what they're doing with Kyle O'Reilly, because that new Kyle O'Reilly gimmick is trash, and Zoe Stark is trash.
Cool Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, that's true.
If they added one more K in there, one more K. I know that you were happy about Raw, though. Your homeboy, Humberto, returned. I'm sure that you were happy about that, Xavier.
And who was he getting beat up by? I can't even think of who it was.
Sheamus.
Yeah.
Sheamus.
I'd say I didn't watch it because I cut it off, but I'm not shocked to see that he got his ass whipped by somebody.
Sheamus is beating up these little boys. That's unfortunate. Big bully.
Where is Private Party? Not Private Party. Damn, Street Profits.
Well, where are the Private Parties? Hold on, because they haven't been on TV in a while. I did see that they won a match on, like, Evolution.
Yeah, they're on Dark and Evolution. We're going to talk about AEW and all these other shows. Like, that Evolution show is really struggling, and they're doing everything in their power to try to get people to go to the YouTube channel, not realizing that, our podcast could technically just be an AEW podcast and remain the same length as it already is. Because you have 16 matches on Evolution, 16 matches on Dark, 8 matches on Wednesday nights. And even on Evolution, they're starting to have Kenny Omega matches on Evolution to try to get viewers over there.
I saw that.
Just like you were saying before, unfortunately, there is just too much wrestling, and they cannot, if even the most diehard of fans is not going to dedicate just hours on hours every day of the week watching the products.
Well, it goes beyond wrestling now. Like we were talking about, and I guess we'll let you guys out there listening in that the format is going to be changing a little bit more. I think we're going to start to possibly move away from talking about shows and storylines and to covering other content around the wrestling world, whether that be introduce guys to independent talents that you haven't heard of from across the world, reviewing classic content. We have our movie review up with Immortal Girlfriend. We'll review See No Evil. We're going to have reviews of No Holds Barred and a bunch of other movies coming for you guys. We're going to review the worst wrestling pay-per-views in history. We're going to have other content dropping. But yeah, like you said, like just covering the pure wrestling shows or being a fan of just the mainstream wrestling shows on television is a full-time job. Then you throw in the YouTube shows that they have, or like the 205 Lives and all of that stuff that doesn't get that much traction. Then you throw in there that all the wrestlers now have their own podcasts, and so you're trying to consume all of that, or they have a vlog. So you got like things like Keeping Up with the Elite or Being the Elite YouTube series. You got the Sammy Guevara YouTube series. Miro has one. Like all these different things. Like it's impossible. And it's three of us. Like I commend people like Jason Solomonster and Don Tony who do their best to keep up with everything. But even them, they struggle to keep up. They keep a main focus. We try to give you like the broad spectrum across the wrestling universe. And it is extremely difficult because there's just so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, and even those guys that you mentioned, for the most part, they only really cover AEW and WWE. They don't really touch too much Ring of Honor, New Japan. Every now and then they might mention New Japan.
When it's a big show.
And they're, like I said, they're busy as hell 7 days a week.
But you know, that's their only job.
Go ahead.
I was saying that's their only job, though. So.
True that. True that. Well, is that Solomonster's only job?
No, that's his only job. He does PR for a firm in New York, and Don Tony owns his own insurance company. But the difference between them and us is also that they've been doing it for 15 and 20 years, and they make money from it as well. So Don Tony owns his own business. He can work kind of when he wants to, take breaks when he wants to, and do all that type of stuff. And Jason Solomonster, he does his Wednesday night show after AEW goes off, and then he does his Sunday reviews, but he also does like the special events like WrestleMania coverage and stuff like that. But he's getting super chats where he's making $2,000 a night to be doing this stuff. And that's not saying that this has been a passion project for us. We've been doing it for 3 years now for you guys. So like, that's not to say that we haven't had fun and that we're not enjoying it. We're just saying like, that's a different level. But again, even them, they don't cover as much as we have been covering. But you also start to feel burnout because there's only so many stories that can be told. And when companies are either repeatedly doing the same things every week, a la AEW, or when what they're doing every week doesn't make sense and gives you no reason to stay invested in it, WWE, or the accessibility to it isn't the easiest, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, and ROH, it becomes such a chore. But that's why I said we've enjoyed bringing you guys that content, because it's content that you don't get from all the other podcasters. But certain products like WWE make it very difficult to want to keep watching and giving you guys being invested in, I should say, from week to week.
Demotivating. Like I said, this was the first year where I felt watching WrestleMania was not a top priority. Every other year, it's been a top priority of mine. This year, nah. I'll watch it if I watch it. I mean, I watched it, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't.
Yeah, so right. Xavier Mustafa, you got anything to add on that?
You pretty much nailed it. I mean, wrestling is developing into something that I'm not really feeling at the moment. That's the nicest way to put it.
Can we say that wrestling's in a boom now? I know there's been debates. I know we've debated on this podcast whether or not we're experiencing a boom period. Can you say it now?
I'll still say for where it was, it is a boon, even though you've seen WWE numbers shrinking. I think that when you look at the amount of content that's coming out, with the fans being so spread across all of the different brands and platforms, if wrestling wasn't in a boom, you wouldn't have MLW getting a TV deal. You wouldn't have New Japan being brought back with a TV deal. You wouldn't have all of this merch. Like, maybe the fan base isn't expanding as quickly as people would like to see, but the fan base is there. They're hungry and they're spending money.
Yeah, I think you just, I think you worded it perfectly. We're not in a boom period. It's just a content explosion.
We're not in a growth period.
No.
We're not in an explosive growth period. But the money in wrestling has probably never been larger, because the people who are fans are invested. Now all you have are the diehards. And I was talking to somebody about pretty much everything in the world now. I believe this generation that we have now is going to be the generation of hoarders. Like, there was a time where it seemed like minimalism was coming into vogue, but I feel like nowadays everything is becoming a collector's item. Like, people view everything as a collector's item. I remember when Beanie Babies came out, and then there was like something that came out after Beanie Babies, and it seems like ever since then that kind of started the train on, if I get this and I just hold on to it forever, one day it'll be worth some money. So,
think about
wrestling
it,
fans are kind of like in that thing right now. Go ahead.
Think about it, man. There's some Pokemon cards out there that you can retire off of selling.
Yeah. Crazy. For those of you guys who are in the video games, like, Sony was talking about shutting down their PlayStation store, where they had a bunch of classic PlayStation 1 games and PlayStation 2 games on there that you could buy and play on, like, your PlayStation 3. And a few that you could play on your PlayStation 4, and people on eBay were just jacking up the prices on those games that you wouldn't be able to get digitally anymore. So physical ownership of things is becoming more and more valuable as we head towards digital. And then on top of that, you got NFTs now, and even WWE is hopping on the NFT train, where they're selling you something that's supposed to be a one of one or a limited edition digital item. It can be reproduced, but because of the blockchain, it's always going to be tied back to you. Like, it'd be kind of hard for you to sell me a JPEG, bro. But people are out here doing it, because everything is viewed as a collector's item now. But yeah, so that's just kind of giving you guys a direction. And if you haven't realized yet, that's pretty much a raw review. That's pretty much a raw review. Like, there was nothing. Yeah, there was nothing there. It was a show. It was just there. Don't know where it's leading yet. You had Drew McIntyre take on Mason T-Bar in a handicap match. Ends in a disqualification. You have Braun Strowman come to his rescue. They do a tag team match player, and it ends in another disqualification. So what are we actually building to?
Nothing.
So
steaming pile, nothing.
Yeah, we'll move on from that and head on over to NXT, because that was what happened on Tuesday. And full admittance, I did not see NXT because I actually forgot about the move. I forgot that it was on Tuesdays now. It's going to take a while to get used to being on Tuesdays.
Well, one thing I will say, we got to see a new Kyle O'Reilly, which I don't like. I don't like the gimmick. I'm like, why would you completely change all of a sudden? Whatever. He had a match against Cameron Grimes that, of course, was a pretty good match. You also had some women activity. You had, what's her name? Zoe Stark. Who to me is like the most bland and boring woman I've ever seen in wrestling. She lost to Sarai, I think that's her name, or Sel Ray, or so it's S A.
Oh, the Japanese girl you brought in, Sarai.
Yeah. Sarai? I don't know how to say her name, but so Sarai won that match, and then Toni Storm put the boots to Zoe Stark. That was pretty much the main storyline that was going on. The Kyle O'Reilly match ended with, it looked like they're going to be setting up a three-way with MSK versus Kushida. Because Kushida had a open challenge where Oney Larkin took up the spot, and then he lost. And then there were some attacks, and now it looks like it's going to be a six-man tag with Santos Escobar and Elgato Del Fantasma Okito Taco. They didn't say that match is happening, but you can tell the way to stand up at the end that that's what's going to happen. So we got Karrion Kross, ironically, hasn't wrestled in the past 2 weeks, but we got a sighting from him, which is kind of cool because when Kyle O'Reilly went out to wrestle his match, as he walked through the entranceway, there he was standing with Scarlett. And then he just walked past him and then walked up to the thing, and then he just kind of gave him that crazy Karrion Kross. That's basically what happened at NXT.
Okay, question for you. So I also missed NXT. I was going to watch it, but I didn't. So how's the show doing week two after this is post Wednesday Night Wars? I know during our bonus episode, I mentioned that I feel like NXT is kind of is more laid back. They're not trying to grab your attention right away. You know, they started to show off last week with, you know, promos and didn't get into the action until like a whole like 15 minutes later. How was it this week? Did they continue that or did they switch it up? Did they go back to the old formula? Did they still try to grab your attention?
They did start it out with the promo, which was the new Kyle O'Reilly with Cameron. So I guess they're going to the Raw format now.
Opening promos and then a match.
Yeah, like, screw that. Start with a match. Didn't do a promo. Yes.
Even if it's a quick 5-6 minute match, just give us a match to start the show. That's all. Go to a promo afterwards, because that's the cooling off period anyway, the second match or second segment.
I do want to note that last week, both AEW and NXT got a boost in the ratings, but it was like, I think NXT had like 800,000. And AEW had, I think, 1.3 million?
1.2 million, baby.
1.2, okay. I knew it was close.
And so now Vince McMahon is pissed and says he'll never have another AEW star over because he blames the fact that they had the Chris Jericho interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He blames himself.
Oh, I don't think that's it at all. Well, it might be a little bit, but I mean, I don't know. Are there people that watch the Stone Cold thing who were just totally unaware there's this company called AEW out there? Do you really
want to know something? I thought about that, and at first I was like, nah, that ain't why it was. But I gave them the benefit of the doubt because if the Stone Cold, if the Steve Broken Skull Sessions was still on the WWE Network, where it was only for people who were diehard enough WWE fans to spend their hard-earned money for the network, then I would have been like, no. But because they're on Peacock, where all you have to do to see WrestleMania and to see that interview is be a Peacock subscriber. So if you were at all curious about WrestleMania, you go over there and that goes off and they've advertised the Broken Skull Session happening after you stick around and you watch that and they're like, oh, there's another wrestling promotion now? I didn't even know. And then you're going to seek out this AEW to see what Chris Jericho was talking about with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So there, I lead a little bit more credence to that assessment that it could be because they had Chris Jericho on the WWE airwaves.
I guess, but I don't know. My experience is there's WWE fans and then there's pro wrestling fans. WWE fans tend to be very loyal to WWE. And anything that's not WWE is seen as amateurs. So you'd have to be some extreme curiosity to find out where AEW airs and then go watch a show.
You know what? I'm gonna let Mustafa go and then I'll say what I'm gonna say.
You gonna let me do what again? I'm sorry.
Then I'm gonna let you do your thing and then I'm gonna do my thing.
Oh, that was it with NXT.
No, I thought you had something to say about the ratings that we were just debating.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, both of them got a bump. So, I don't...
Well, no,
So I don't want to necessarily say I think it was because of the Chris Jericho. That probably helped a little bit, but I think maybe, okay, maybe if anything, maybe 100,000 tuned over because they were curious about what Chris Jericho was talking about. But since NXT got a bump as well, it just looks like both of these promotions are going to be benefiting the fact that they're not going against each other in their own separate.
And I think that's what it is. I think that you're no longer forcing people to choose between the two. So, yeah.
There was
1.2 million people available to watch wrestling. It was normally split between the two, but now that AEW is on solely on Wednesdays, they get the whole 1.2 million.
This is the world we'll find out who stuck around.
True.
Like, it's going to be this second week and that third week are when we're going to really see what these shows can do on their own.
Yeah, if they retained any fans.
Right.
I got one thing to say about Karrion Kross before we exit out of NXT. So if you've been paying attention to his Instagram and Twitter, he's kind of low-key called out John Cena, saying that he wants to retire him. What do you guys think the possibility of that ever happening?
Karrion Kross?
Yes. I think it'd be excellent for him to retire John Cena and do it strong.
Other two. It seems like John Cena's already done. Like they just don't want to make it.
What's going on with our audio?
They just don't want to make it official.
For those of you guys that are listening, we're not chopping, screwing our voices. We have no idea what's going on with the audio.
I don't hear it.
I heard it for a second.
Yeah. All right.
We're live, guys. Let's go.
Live, pal.
Yeah. So, I'd much rather actually see, I would love to see Karrion Kross retire Randy Orton, or not like to see Karrion Kross retire John Cena. I think that Randy Orton and Karrion Kross match would, the build, I think, could be really, really good to something like that.
Well, I mean, if they're going to establish Karrion Kross as, like, basically the next, like, beast, I mean, need to take out Lesnar then. Seeing as how they seem like to be pussyfooting it around Bobby Lashley doing it, so maybe they'll let Karrion Kross do it.
But we'll see what Karrion Kross does when he comes up against Walter. That's going to be the test.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah, they have to keep them too far away from each other.
That's Mania next year. What you talking about?
Because there's no way in hell, if Vince has anything to say about it, Walter's going over Karrion Kross.
I don't know. Man. I think Vince would view Walter as fat. You saw how he did.
And there's no way he's going to put Walter over Karrion.
Oh, yeah, that's what I just said. I thought you said that Walter was going to go over Karrion.
No, I said there's no way if Vince has anything to say about it.
unless Walter chops Vince, Vince is like, goddamn.
Goddamn, pal. Yeah. You chop kind of hard.
Oh, man. All right, so let's get over to AEW. Which looked like New Japan this past week. Blatant disregard for everyone's necks. I think Tommaso Ciampa might be on his way over there. He's like, oh, y'all don't give a fuck about y'all necks either? I need to join that party over there.
Yeah, he's the poster child of I give no shits about my neck.
He could have never been in Friday and delivered that the classic line. My neck, and my back.
Right.
Yeah, you had everybody getting dropped in their neck. Everybody from Ricky Starks all the way to freaking Trent got dropped on his neck. It's like, God damn, bro. There was some really bad bumps. I don't know what was going on over on AEW this past week.
Was I really supposed to believe that Trent could last that long in a match with Pentagon? I was like, are they really trying to sell this to me? Because I'm not buying it.
Well, you know, Trent was one fourth of the best AEW match of last year and almost match of the year until Walter had something to say about it, which, you know, neither here nor there. So the big takeaways heading into the May 5th Blood and Guts show, which is just building into a spectacular card where you're going to have the Blood and Guts, a.k.a. War Games match of the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. It looks like We're also going to be getting that Britt Baker Hikaru Shida championship, women's championship match on that card, because Tay Conti had her opportunity tonight against Hikaru Shida, and she came up short in the match, which brought out Britt Baker, who brought out the ranking system up on the Titantron or whatever you call their screen there. And it went from Tay Conti being number one contender, and with that loss, Britt Baker becoming number one contender. So I'm believing that that match, they didn't announce it for May 5th yet, but I got a feeling that's where we're going to get that match. So
I want to say something about this match.
Sorry. You said what?
I want to say something about this match. I was thoroughly impressed with Tay Conti.
I would say the exact same thing. I was like, she's in just all those years in WWE and they did nothing with her to where she is now in less than a little less than a year or maybe a year. Spectacular. And she put on a hell of a good match. And of course, it takes two to tangle. So I also got to put over Hikaru Shida because she was in there working her ass off. This is a really good women's match. AEW is kind of seems like ever since that Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker match, the women are starting to put it together, or maybe AEW has decided on the proper women to actually feature, because I have not seen Big Swole in several weeks. and they got rid of Eva Lee, and we talked about that on our bonus episode, which I got to put over our bonus episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, we did a bonus episode last week that dropped where we talked about WrestleMania, the Monday Night Raw following the Mania, the first NXT show, and the AEW show, those shows that went unopposed. So definitely go back and check that out. We talked about a lot of things over there, but one of those things was Eva Lee's pretty much blowing it once again and showing that she's the actual problem, not the wrestling company.
Oh, Eva Lee.
What? Are you trying to say a wrestler doesn't take accountability for their actions? What?
That doesn't happen.
Which also means you'll be able to catch her probably at the Legacy Pro New Year's Eve show. can we bring in Eva Lee?
Look, okay, so now that she done burnt a lot of bridges, where do you think she's going
to go? Well, now she's cheap.
I'm saying, does she go to Ring of Honor? Does she go to Impact? Oh, no, not Impact.
She goes to Blizzard. She goes to Blizzard Brawl.
So is she done?
Done. And I also think because of just the stories we've heard and her being kicked out of all these different places, I also feel she's the person that's going to go in the independent scene and demand way too much money for her. And certain marks are probably paid. But everybody that's in the know isn't going to give her the money that she feels that she is worth.
She got something to fall back on. Because pro wrestling is a very unforgiving business. Get blacklisted or marked as being too difficult for more than one company. If you're difficult in one company and then you work out everyone else, that's one thing. But if you have a proven track record of just being a jackass, yeah, you get blacklisted real quick. Not calling her a jackass. I don't know her. So.
AEW has continued to build up Christian Cage. He defeated Powerhouse Hobbs in a pretty good match.
Oh, you know what? You just made me think about something. Because when I saw this, I'm like, they are just, what's the word I'm looking for? They're just annihilating Taz's faction. Everybody in his faction lost tonight. On Wednesday.
With the exception of Ricky Starks, like I really don't give a fuck about Brian Cage, and the other guy, the guy that lost, they haven't established him enough yet. So him taking L's, it's not a big deal, but it hurts his character overall because they should be building him up. Will Hobbs, I'm not going to disrespect that brother like that.
The one thing about Taz's group. Pretty much, besides Brian Cage and Ricky Starks is good. We watched him in NWA, so we know he's good. But you got his son Hook in there who hasn't had a match yet. You got Powerhouse Hobbs, who's the greenest member of Taz's group.
Hold on.
He wasn't ready for the position that he's in just yet. And so they have him paying his dues on television, which I think hurts him right now. It's going to take a lot of building up of Taz's crew, but they got certain people that they're telling the stories about right now.
I just thought of something. Quick question. Is Taz's group, was Taz's crew the Hurt Business before the Hurt Business was a thing?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, basically the New York version of the Hurt Business.
No, they're more the Jersey version.
Yeah, I'd say that.
The Red Hook.
No, I think Taz will beat you down if you say you're from Jersey.
Tell Taz to bring it on. He the one person in that company that better give a damn about his neck.
All 5'4" of him.
Man, I'm just picturing in my head just him Taz flexing True Element. Just all across whatever room he comes across him.
Make that GIF.
Yeah. With me towering over him, not gonna happen.
Yeah, he done Taz flexed some big people.
That was back in his heyday, though.
It was funny. I just came across a match with him and Kurt Angle that I completely forgot about. I want to say it was that Royal Rumble.
How did you forget that? That was his debut.
No, see, I thought his debut was the one against Lawler.
Oh, well, unless I'm mistaken, I think his televised debut was against Taz. Taz choked him out.
Well, I don't know, the match is great.
That was when Vince soured on him, was actually matched with, I believe it was Kurt Angle, where he suplexed, I think it was the pay-per-view that Mustafa's talking about, where he suplexed him and it was so close, like to him falling on his neck, that he got the moniker of being unsafe, even though like Kurt and everybody was vying for him. Like, no, he's one of the safest guys we have. But it didn't matter. And that was pretty much the end of his career in WWE. But
yeah, he had a raw deal there.
Yeah, so it was something else. Oh my goodness. I've always given Eddie Kingston his props. But what they had him and Jon Moxley do on this week's Dynamite was another embarrassment, almost on the level of the exploding barbed wire match. So you have a segment where the Elite are sitting in their trailer and they're talking big shit. All of a sudden, somebody's blowing the horn outside of the trailer and they're like, go shut that person up. Go see what's going on. We cut to a camera outside and it's Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston sitting in a pickup truck that they're revving the engine and honking the horn, and they drive into the side of the trailer. Then they hop out of the truck and they walk around to the front door of the trailer, bust out the windows, go inside, and there's no Elite in there. And all of this happened in like a span of like 15 seconds. And so it's like all these people evacuate after getting hit, where they should have maybe been discombobulated, knocked on the ground or whatever on the inside of the trailer. So you mean to tell me that happened, then they got up, all six or seven guys in that trailer, and hauled ass from two guys.
Listen,
making the Elite look bad, or you're making Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley look silly.
Listen, what you don't know is Don Callis, I've gotten from good authority, is a master of the mystic arts. And so he just teleported his guys out of there before it hit.
I posted that this segment was caca.
Okay, since you're bringing up the Elite, let me ask you a question that I've been kind of pondering over the last couple of weeks. So, is Kenny Omega living up to the expectations of the role that he's in? Because I'm kind of thinking he's not. The focus is no longer on him. It's on this mock Bullet Club bullshit.
I don't even feel like, Mustafa, I'll let you go. I don't want to steal your thunder. I want you to get in on this. So go ahead and give your thoughts, and I'll give my thoughts space.
So, again, my thoughts on this whole thing is they are totally dropping the ball on the impact part of it. And I think, yes, him being with the Elite, it's more, I don't say like it shouldn't be more about the group, but he's kind of being drowned in his own group. So it's, and it's so many, you know, you had the Bucks, you know, in Don Callis situation. Then you had the Bucks with the Good Brothers situation. And now they're all friends now. And it's like, okay, but what about Kenny Omega? Kenny Omega is supposed to be this threat. And I don't feel like he's a threat at all. So I think he actually needs to win the title this weekend because he has to do something to kind of separate himself. But then at the same time, Impact isn't getting a rub for from it. So what the hell are we doing?
Okay. So tonight was the first night where they actually played a promo promoting the Impact show where Kenny Omega is going to be facing Rich Swann. So
this is the first promo since the whole damn thing.
Yeah, this part of it. So that was the first time that's happened. And it was just thrown in there. It was like a picture-in-picture promo, too. It wasn't even like they got a full commercial. It was picture-in-picture. And what you asked Chris Black was, is he living up to the expectations? And I would say no, because they're not giving him anything to do. He's being drowned out by everything else on the show. Even if they have two segments or three segments with him, he is being... The stars in his group are the Young Bucks. They get more focus. They get more shine. You remember that the Young Bucks are tag team champions. It's easy to forget that Kenny Omega is the world champion. Hell, Chris Jericho still feels like he's the world champion because on that Blood and Guts show, he's going to be the main event. There hasn't been any talk about Kenny Omega having any match on that card.
He gets more TV time than Kenny Omega. Way more.
He also doesn't get the opportunity to talk. I think they could fix all of this if they actually make, and they could even play it up for comedy, that because he is the AAA mega champion, so he has that belt, he has the AEW belt, they could make Don Callis have to carry around all of his belts, like Jim Cornette used to have to carry around all of the Beast, Dan Severn.
Dan Severn.
Yeah. Dan Severn's title belts, make him carry around Kenny Omega's belts like that. Make this guy seem like he's a big deal. But I feel like it doesn't feel that way. The Good Brothers are just there. It doesn't even make sense.
Look, I don't know if we're going to throw some predictions for the Impact this weekend. I honestly don't know what other matches are on there besides that one. But due to the way the lack of attention Kenny Omega is getting, I don't know if he's going to win. I mean, it'll be damaging if Rich Swann pins Omega. I don't know. I think they kind of booked themselves in a corner now because I don't think this, as good as an idea this was initially, I don't think they've done the work to pull this off.
I agree. This entire thing has been a giant waste of time because they haven't dedicated any actual time to it. And I'm getting an echo.
Look, the reason why I brought that up is because I've been doing some thinking. Now, I was actually going to do a video on this on my YouTube, but I think I'll save it for now. I think that if they were going to book some type of belt collector or whatever, I think they put the wrong person in that role. Now, just hear me out. Now, I know motherfuckers might have a problem with what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Sure.
No. The perfect person to be this belt collecting guy that's going to put eyes on the product of both Impact, AEW, possibly Ring of Honor, and NWA, whatever, however other promotions that they want to include right now. The one person that they could probably entice to do this would have been CM Punk. I think he would have came back for that role. Feed his ego. He's going to go around being the best of the world. And I think that absolutely would have put eyes on the product.
I was thinking Miro. They had brought him in properly. I think Miro could have went around just being the Bulgarian destroyer and just collecting belts.
I'm talking, I get what you're saying. Eyes on the product. We need to get a big time star that's going to put eyes on the product and asses in seats. I think CM Punk, I'm going to go on record. I keep saying this. He is the last big surprise left in pro wrestling.
You know what? I actually got one better than CM Punk and Miro. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to be shocked that I'm actually going to say this person's name, but hey, this person is a genuine asshole. He gets being an asshole across TV very well. He shines everywhere he goes. Like, you can't dim this man's light because he's that talented. And I'll give credit where credit is due.
He's about to put him over Austin Aries.
Oh, God. Am I lying, though?
The problem is, like, the real life heat.
You want to know something?
I don't know if it's worth the caping.
I actually like that, but I like it from a different angle, right? Because the last image we saw of Austin Aries in a ring was him flipping off Don Callis at the Impact show. So it'd be for him to come in and screw Don Callis' plans up with Kenny Omega.
Austin Aries used to come back in a managerial role. I don't know if his wrestling days are... I don't know if anyone's willing to work with that ego anymore.
Bring him in and let him work with Matt Riddle in WWE. Be Matt Riddle's manager. He grows his own weed.
I don't know. Perfect. I think there's still some value left in Austin Aries, but I don't know with who and with and where.
Mustafa, you didn't tell him who he was working at the show?
I work Aries.
Oh, no, it was New Jack, remember?
See?
That wasn't this show. That's the New Year's show. Blood in the Snow. It's called Legacy Pro, Blood in the Snow.
Keep playing.
We're going to deliver.
Y'all must be bringing up Chris Black from Tennessee.
So that's pretty much the AEW show. It was a better show than usual. It still ended in a big smize after the Darby Allin and Jungle Boy match. I do want to give Darby Allin and Jungle Boy their props. That was a really good match. I was shocked they gave it away on free television. But again, it did end in a big old smize, and Lance Archer and Sting had to come down to save the day once again. So those two need to just make love or like get over it. Cause I don't know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in this situation. Cause Lance Archer keeps coming down to saving Darby Allin's ass, and him and Sting are working together more than they're actually fighting one another. So it's going to be interesting to see once we finally get to that point. But right now they're building to the Blood and Gut show, and I'm excited to see what happens with that. So with that being said, I guess we will pass it over to our homeboy Chris Black for some New Japan updates, and then we'll do Impact and Impact predictions from Xavier Mustafa.
All right. I'm going to start out my talking of New Japan with some comments that Jim Ross had about Will Ospreay. Jim Ross kind of threw some shade at him a little bit. He's saying how basically everyone, since winning the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, everyone's been ranting and raving about how great Will Ospreay is and that he's the greatest champion, blah, 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 blah. I kind of have to agree with Jim Ross. When people are saying, is he the greatest? He's like, are you shitting me? I mean, he's good. He's a very good wrestler. But it's, what, a couple weeks into his title reign? You can't say he's the greatest ever. You can't say he's better than guys like Tanahashi or Okada. Like, again, is he talented? Yes. Is he, you know, a great person to have on anyone's roster right now? Absolutely. Best or greatest? I wouldn't give him that, those type of accolades just yet. So, I don't know, like, it's an interesting little article that I read. He's saying that he'd love to have him work for AEW because he would do well in AEW. And he also commented that WWE would have nothing to offer him because can't handle your own creative, and they'd have nothing for them. And I'm absolutely going to agree with that. Stay the hell away from WWE. But yeah, I don't know. I've seen the comments by fans just going off about how great of a champion Will Ospreay is. It's like, okay, he hasn't defended the title yet. He's good. Is he good in the role? Yes. I believe that they did not make a mistake. I predicted in my predictions that he would beat Ibushi for the titles. So only time will tell. I don't know how long he's going to hold the titles. I think he's going to be kind of a, I don't want to call him a transitional title. They're not going to transition it. I think that Ibushi will probably regain the title sometime down the line, maybe at the end of the summer, maybe at Dominion. Who knows? I don't think he's going to have a long title reign. And if it is long, it's only because they're going to build him and Okada back up. But anyway, but the next big show that they've got is the Wrestling Dontaku. I hope I pronounced that right. Which is going to take place two nights, May 3rd and May 4th. Let's see here. They've got some pretty good matches on the card. You got the Never Openweight Championship match with Jay White challenging Tanahashi for his title. You have a Iron Finger from Hell ladder match. You don't know the story. That probably sounds a little funny. Tai Chi versus Tangaloa. You got Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Tama Tonga. And they just added a stipulation on this match that if Zack Sabre Jr. loses, he will not be able to challenge for him or Tai Chi, as the Dangerous Techers will not be able to challenge for the IWGP heavyweight, tag team titles again. You will have IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship defense. Yo versus El Desperado. Yo just returned from a knee injury where Roppongi 3K just won back their IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Oh, did I say Junior Heavyweight? Yeah, I did. Tag Team Championships. And of course, you have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Shingo Takagi taking on Will Ospreay. And just as I said, when Sonata took on Ibushi for his first title defense, sorry, bro, your first title defense, you're not going to, he's not going to lose in his first title defense. So Shingo's going to be that first sacrificial lamb. I think that it was kind of a mistake to put Shingo against him so early because Will Ospreay just beat him in the New Japan Cup. So these guys had some great matches. I don't want to see Shingo lose again, but I mean, that's inevitably what's going to happen. Other than that, the only thing I want to add to my New Japan Pro Wrestling, because I've been watching the Road to the Wrestling Dontaku shows, and there's something to say about how New Japan handles their storytelling. And I really wish that WWE and so many other companies would be able to benefit from this type of style. I know I sound like a extreme New Japan mark right now, but there's something got to be said about how they are able to advance their storylines through a lot of multi-man tag matches. I look at the card and I'm like, do I really want to watch this? I don't really want to watch this tag match. And then I watch the show and there's so much storytelling and so much advancing of storylines done in all of those tag matches. It makes me want to continue watching the show, keep watching the road. I look forward to this pay-per-view. Again, I was saying earlier with the WrestleMania build, with all the money and the TV time that's dedicated to Raw and SmackDown, they could not get my interest at all for this year's WrestleMania. And two or three road to this Wrestling Dontaku shows, I'm ready for it. I want to watch it. Again, there's got to be something to be said about how you build towards a show using multi-man tag matches. I used to balk at that kind of stuff, but no, I'm really into it. So call me a mark if you want to, or New Japan's doing it right. I don't know if you guys will agree with that or not. I'm not necessarily agree with. What do you have to say about having a different way of telling stories? I know I've said before, I'm pretty bored with the backstage segments, all the talking segments, just all this talking. Do your fucking storytelling in the ring.
You need some talking in order to set things up, obviously. But where it kind of jumps the rails is where especially when it comes to WWE. AEW isn't as bad, but it's kind of to their detriment as well. And they made the joke about it in the beginning of Dynamite when they first started, where Jericho and the Inner Circle were up in the boxes and Cody Rhodes was down in the ring and Jericho was cutting a promo on him. And he's like, this isn't that other company. There's not an invisible force field that I can't cross to come and get my hands on you or whatever. That's when all the talking kind of like just stops being believable, when you can be in somebody's face talking all that trash, but you guys can't touch. So I'd much rather have the storytelling be in a ring. I remember when we first started this, I talked about how back in the Attitude Era, somebody be cutting, like you wouldn't have two people in a ring cutting a promo in each other's faces. They would be cutting the promo. One would be on a stage and one would be in the ring. And so it kept them away from each other. And then when they did touch, it meant so much more. And New Japan does their promo storytelling through vignettes, if I feel like. There's a lot more videos and different things like that. Somebody be in the ring, somebody appear on the screen, and they kind of set the wheels in motion for everything. But yeah, like you said, the actual storytelling of the struggle is told in the ring.
Right, like up until I started watching New Japan, I was like you. I really enjoyed the way, and maybe this is old WWE or American wrestling, how if two people are going to have a match at a big show, they really wouldn't touch at all because you were anticipating them finally locking up. With New Japan, they'll have all these multi-man tag matches where they involve two guys that are going to face off one-on-one, but the fact they're in multi-man matches and they might face off at each other two or three times before the actual show, I'm not bothered by that at all because I still look forward to their one-on-one match. Because during these tag matches, you get a little tease of what they're going to do. And it's just like, it makes you just want more, not less. They want, you're not bored with it. You're not like, oh my God, these guys are in a tag match against each other again. No, you're looking forward to it because you know they're not going to give you everything. They're just going to give you enough to keep you interested.
Yeah, I always find it funny in New Japan, their multi-man matches will be like 15 minutes, but then the one-on-one will be like 40.
Right. Well, thank God a lot of their matches aren't like super long. Like, I think there was maybe, it's only been, I think, one or two occasions where I'm just like, oh my God, fucking end this match.
Mustafa, you got anything?
No, not on this one. I mean, right. I do agree with you. It should be in the ring. Not all these everybody getting beat up backstage segments like NXT was doing for like 3 weeks straight. Every time a camera was in the back, somebody was getting beat up or they were beat up. Like, we don't need that.
Well, I mean, again, there's a time and place for that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's somebody like, overdoes
when you have,
it.
You shouldn't have, to me, this is just me. To me, you shouldn't have more talking segments than wrestling matches on a show.
Pretty much. So what's going on with Impact and what are the predictions for the weekend?
A whole lot of nothing, to be honest. Just everything was just last week a setup for...
What's the Impact pay-per-view called? Let me just...
Rebellion. So everything is just kind of a setup just to go into the pay-per-view this Saturday. So we recorded this on Wednesday the 21st, so there will be an episode this Thursday that will be the go-home episode. And then this is what we got for the pay-per-view. We got Matt Cardona versus Brian Myers. I'm pretty sure Brian Myers should.
Isn't that Jobber McJobberton from WWE?
Jobber versus Jobber, actually. It's Matt Cardona is...
No, Brian Myers. I know who Matt Cardona is. Isn't he the... Brian, I can't think of his. I can't think of his.
I got kids.
No,
that's Heath Slater. I mean, Heath Ledger. That's Heath Slater.
Heath Slater.
Brian Myers is the guy who's come out with the stick.
Yeah. We can't even remember his name. That's how unimportant he was. I'll always go against him. Matt Cardona for him. Shit.
You got a thing against Sticks, man?
I got a thing against Brian Myers.
Curt Hawkins.
There you go. Curt Hawkins, yeah. All
right, so you got Matt Cardona. Was just today. He's going over. Curt Hawkins wins for his birthday.
So I got Matt Cardona. You got, all right, I got Brian Myers. You got Matt Cardona. Who you got? True Element.
I'm going to go with Brian Myers.
Oh, motherfucker.
All right, then we got
Matt. Matt Cardona got to count some lights because his girlfriend just got fired and she's gonna need a place to come. So they're like, you want your girl to work here or not?
Is he the one dating the other iconic?
Yeah, he was the one dating Peyton Royce.
All right, next up we got probably one of the matches of the night.
Yes,
Sean Spears.
No, Matt Cardona is with Peyton Royce. Billy Kay is with Sean Spears.
Dude, I'm like, dude, we go through this all the time. I don't think so. Keep going. I'm going to look that up.
All right, so one of the matches of the night that I think is going to be Trey Miguel versus Sami Callihan. I think they are pushing Trey Miguel, so I think it's going to be Trey Miguel going over Sami. True Element, what say you?
Who is it again? I was looking up the same thing to Chris Black. Yeah,
Peyton Royce. Peyton Royce is married to Sean Spears.
What?
Yep.
Oh, well, she used to date Matt Cardona then.
Matt Cardona's with someone else. I can't think of her name.
No, either. Chelsea Green. Sorry, that's
Matt there you Cardona's go. Right. There you go. Yeah.
Chelsea Green is fired too, so it don't matter. This girl
still, I mean, what you said was correct. If you want your woman to work, you gotta count them lights.
Yeah, I stand on what I said. So Xavier Mustafa, I'm sorry. Who were the two people again?
Trey Miguel and Sami Callihan.
Man, they always want to push Sami Callihan. But
I'm always gonna go with Sami Callihan.
I think it's time for them to put somebody over Sami Callihan. I'm tired of seeing him featured.
I feel like he's been putting everybody over. But Trey Miguel will be another one he can put over.
I'm gonna go with Trey Miguel.
I got something against Chris Black tonight, I see.
Fuck Chris Black. That's been the motto since 2019.
Damn.
And then we got up next an 8-man tag. We got Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack versus Violent by Design, which is Eric Young, Deaner, Joe Doring, and Ryan. I'm going with the heels on this one.
I'm going to have to go with the heels. They need some more heat behind them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Violent by Design.
Next up, Fire and Flavor versus Jordan Grace and To Be Determined.
Yes, unfortunately, Jazz retired, I heard.
Yeah, the last, I guess you could say pay-per-view that she had a match against Deonna Purrazzo, where Deonna Purrazzo put up the belt. She put up her career, and she lost, having her official retirement at the show.
See, if there was no 90-day compete clause, I'd be like, that's Chelsea Green's spot with Jordan Grace.
Oh, yeah. Damn, he did.
You know what? It's going to be Zelina Vega.
Do you think it's going to be someone new they bring in?
It's going to be Eva Lees or Zelina Vega. I'm going to go. I think Kira and Tasha are corny, but.
You didn't just say that.
Huh?
You didn't just say that, did you?
Yeah, I think they're kind of corny, man. We've seen what they're doing already with Bailey and Sasha for like a year and a half. I'm going to go with Jordan Grace and whoever her to-be-determined partner is. I think Sasha and them have had the championships long enough at this point.
I'm going to go with Jordan Grace and to-be-determined.
So excited. I'm going with the champs to retain. No reason for them to take them belts off. Unless to-be-determined is someone big. I don't mean size wise.
I don't think I've heard Chris Black root for black women this hard.
To be determined, I'm going to predict that it's going to be Ronda Rousey and it's going to be a 3-on-2 match.
This will lose his shit.
I am a terrible.
Yeah, Impact will lose their business.
They might like, get a pregnant woman wrestle.
It's like no one else is getting paid tonight. It's all going to Ronda Rousey.
Another match of the night is going to be Ace Austin versus Josh Alexander versus TJP for the Impact X Division Championship. This match has phenomenal written all over it. No pun intended.
Any type of stipulation besides a three-way?
No, not
when was the last time they done an Ultimate X match?
Been a while. I'm going to go with...
Yeah, I say Ace Austin.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Deonna Purrazzo versus Tennille Dashwood for the Impact Knockouts Championship. Deonna Purrazzo retained.
Yeah, Purrazzo ain't losing that belt to Tennille Dashwood.
Oh. Part of me thinks that they're going to give Tennille the belt, but I don't know. I haven't been watching the product, so I'll go Deonna Purrazzo. But I wouldn't be shocked if Tennille finally got her
a win. I just don't feel like Miss Dashwood is reliable.
That may be true.
Here's a name you'll know, Chris Black. Finn Juice defends their tag team titles versus the Good Brother. Finn Juice retains.
Is this their first title defense?
I believe so. Pretty sure.
Ooh, because of all the spotlight on, well, God damn it. I'm going to go with Finn Juice.
I feel that what I complained about earlier, that the Good Brothers don't belong there with the in the Elite right now because they don't have any gold. They feel like losers, but they are, and they did lose the tag team belts already. I think the Good Brothers get it back here. I think all the Elite walk out with gold, and that's my spoiler for the main event as well. So I think the Good Brothers get it here.
You know, you could be telling the truth because all right, already New Japan guys got their tag belts. If Kenny Omega walks away with their world title, Good Brothers have to get the belts back for their company, shouldn't they? I don't know. It's going to be a weird night. I have my reservations on this main event.
Well, now that we've talked about it, let's make it official. For the Impact World Championship and the AEW Championship of the World, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega.
Before I give my prediction, although you probably already know what I'm going to say, what since you've been watching it more and more, how much build are they giving this match? Because I almost feel like this is a match that's hardly even spoken about. As big as it is, I mean, come on, this is company title versus another company's title. This should be huge news right now.
It's like huge on the Impact side, but not anywhere else.
Maybe. Yeah, because I've been watching Impact, so maybe that's why I feel that way. I just feel like this has been a very poorly advertised matchup. This is a big deal.
You have Kenny Omega showing up on their program, but you never see Rich Swann on their program.
Right, and I mean, come on now. This was their go-home show, which Rich Swann should have did a run-in or something against Kenny Omega. Shouldn't he have? I don't know. With AEW not putting much attention at all on Impact side of things, I find it hard to believe. Now, I'm sorry to say this. I cannot see a legit winner in this match. I think there's going to be some sort of a fuck finish. Match is going to get thrown out. Both people retain their own championships. I think at this point, they haven't built it well enough where Omega can walk away with the Impact Championships. And we all know damn well Rich Swann ain't walking away with the AEW championship. It's either Kenny Omega or they both walk away with their belts.
Hold on. You should know Rich Swann.
I'm not. I'm just saying we all know that's not going to happen.
I actually agree with you. I think it's either going to be one of those two things. Sorry, which one? Kenny Omega or a draw?
But, I mean, if they do a fuck finish, are people going to shit all over this?
Yep.
Mm. And that's always been my thing with AEW. You know, like, AEW, they'll promise you a match, and you're so used to WWE, they're like, oh, there's no way. They're not going to give us a finish. AEW always gives you a finish. Impact, I'm not so sure. Like, you wouldn't expect it for the Darby Allin and Jungle Boy match to have an actual finish, but got it.
But this is Impact Champion versus AEW Champion, title for title, winner take all. I kind of feel like if Kenny Omega wins and has Impact title, as much as this sounds weird saying, Omega's run is going to devalue the Impact title because they're not going to put any focus on it. And is Kenny Omega going to show up on Impact as the Impact champ? I just don't have a good feeling about this. I could be totally off, but I'm interested as fuck in this match, but I don't have a lot of faith in what the finish is going to be, or follow through for that matter. I'm just worried.
I don't think you're the only one.
I really want this angle to work out because the benefits just outweighs anything. If they can pull this shit off and put eyes on both companies, that is what they should be. That's what they should be aiming for.
It'll be masterful. The one thing has been just the build up to it, the promotion of it. I think that's where they're going to lose a lot of people.
Like I said, this is a big deal. Folks, if anybody's listening, any of the important people at Impact or AEW, this is a big deal match. You guys better deliver.
And with that, concludes our prediction for Rebellion. This Sunday, April 25th. Pretty sure you can get it on the fight.
All right. Do we have any UK, NXT UK or ROH news?
All right. So let me talk about NXT UK. The biggest problem with them right now is that their main talent is on the main NXT roster. So they kind of hurting right now. They brought back, I think the name is Mustache Mountain. They reunited those guys back, which is pretty cool. You had Joe Coffey returning from an injury, but those are your highlights, I guess. Aren't really highlights at all. You know, you realize people like Walter and the Grizzled Young Vets and things like that, like, really were key parts of that roster. And don't get me wrong, Mustache Mountain, they're pretty entertaining, but they're carrying the whole show. So I'm waiting for NXT India so we can see my champion. Which I don't know if you guys
saw. Can we go one show without bringing up Jabber Mahal?
I don't know if you guys saw that great picture of Rhea Ripley just being choked up, that the greatest world champion of all time.
I don't think anyone thought that but you.
What the meme said, so the internet would not lie.
Oh my god. Anyway, there was too much Jinder Mahal love going on this past week on Facebook. Way Jinder too Hall, much.
Jinder Mahal appreciation week.
And I don't know where. I didn't want to be the curmudgeon just to go around just shitting on everybody. It would have got me hella Facebook heat.
Listen, Jinder Mahal was there when we needed him. So he'll always be a GOAT to me.
Right, so do you think they're going to go for Walter and Finn Balor? Is there any suggestions going on or any signs that they might be going in that direction?
No, since like Walter had that match with Ciampa, we've not heard anything else about Walter.
Okay.
I don't even think they're even an opponent in the UK side. So, they got some work to do. I guess they don't know what they want to do with Walter right now. I know Walter would definitely be somebody that would be on the main roster right now if it wasn't for the fact that he does not want to live in the state. Maybe things might be different since we got a new president, but I know definitely under under Trump, he was not going.
Hey, ready for some Ring of Honor news? I guess I got a couple of things to bring up for Ring of Honor. Number one, my first one's going to be I think Ring of Honor is making a little bit of a mistake. So they've announced that they're going to start doing Women's Division Wednesdays. I'm going to say it again. Wednesday. It's going to be a YouTube show where they highlight some Women's Division matches on the official Ring of Honor YouTube channel. And they're going to air at 7 p.m. Eastern starting the 28th. Why? You know what else comes on at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays? Why would you do that? Now, I understand, like we said earlier, that there's just too much wrestling, and where do you fit a show like this? I don't want to be like, put it on at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays, but I mean, why would you go head to head with AEW who's doing 1 million watchers, you know, people watching? I think that's kind of a mistake. I think that's a bad move for Ring of Honor. Unless their women's division is just going to blow everything out the water. I don't know.
You said, is this going to be on TV?
No, it's going to be on their YouTube channel.
Oh, it's on YouTube. No, people watch it.
They just won't watch it when it premieres at 7?
Right. They won't watch it at all.
Okay.
Because, Dark and Evolution, I don't ever watch them. I will never search for that in my YouTube. I wouldn't want that on my feed.
Damn.
It's because me, YouTube, I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with wrestling on YouTube. I watch Bacha Mania, that's about it.
Okay. All right, so maybe it's not such a bad idea. Anyway. Well, so there's that. I mean, I guess it's a good thing that they want to highlight their women, which is, and I think, Maria Kanellis announced during the 19th anniversary show that there'll be a tournament held this summer to crown a new Ring of Honor women's champion. So something to look forward to.
I think somebody needs to bring back the concept of like Saturday Night Shotgun again. Instead of dropping these YouTube shows during regular waking hours, 7 p.m., make it more of like a late night event. Somebody comes home from the bar, they hop on YouTube, there's a new episode up, and they're sitting there eating their Taco Bell and watching your show. Like bring back the Saturday night shows. Legacy Pro should try that. Like upload some of y'all shows Saturday nights, late night, people eating a Taco Bell, turn on a crisp black match while you sit on the toilet.
Watch some greatness while you're taking a shit. Anyway.
Watch this classic series of matches with Devin August.
Yeah, where I was beating that ass till he got a lucky win. You mean that series?
Several times.
Well, Ring of Honor reached a milestone this past weekend. They celebrated their 500th episode, where you had matches that pitted Jay Lethal against Jonathan Gresham for a Ring of Honor pure title match. Match.
Like 11 years, basically.
Right. Jonathan Gresham obviously got the win at the 16-minute 38-second mark. And then you had brother versus brother, Mark Briscoe versus Jay Briscoe. There's no heat between these guys. They just, you know, decided to put these two together in a hell of a match. And Mark actually got the victory, but it was by countout. So, okay. I guess they didn't want to pin him, but whatever. So those were just like the two really big matches. I mean, it was an emotional show, apparently. Start out with an emotional video package that documented the evolution of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has really grown from a small, independent, like damn near underground kind of federation into a slightly bigger independent. So I would love to see Ring of Honor grow a little bit bigger, but only time will tell. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they got some big plans. Last but not least, talking about big plans. So PCO, you know, the former Ring of Honor champion, he stated that he'd like to see Ring of Honor have like an 80,000 seat arena show, probably in Canada or something like that. I don't know. He just, I guess he wants to see them, you know, do like a really big packed house show, which, given the right kind of booking, it's possible, but I don't know about 80,000. I mean, selling out the Garden was good enough, but I mean, even then they had New Japan with them when they did it. So I don't know. I'd like to see Ring of Honor kind of elevate a little bit more, get some more exposure, get some more eyes on the product. So I'm all for that. So they deserve it. They've been around for quite a long time, and their content doesn't suck. So I mean, it could be worse. That's it, I guess. All I got for Ring of Honor.
All right. Just some quick little wrestling tidbits, or should I say tidbits from across the wrestling world. For those of you who are itching for Kylie Rae's return match, you will know that it was going to be with Warrior Wrestling based out of Chicago. And that was scheduled for Saturday, June 5th, but it's been postponed due to Thunder Rosa's schedule with the NWA. So now they do have a new date for that match if you were interested in either going to the Warrior Wrestling event or watching it somehow. They've rescheduled it for August 21st. So it's going to be Thunder Rosa versus Kylie Rae in her return match. You guys excited for Kylie Rae's return to wrestling?
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to say something that's going to give me some heat.
I've already said I was never a fan of Kylie Rae, so.
I mean, okay, so the issue is,
at least now she has the gimmick all to herself.
She's the one who kind of like been stepping out of the limelight because of mental health concerns and issues, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like, unless you have one hell of a therapist, I don't know if that shit's ever going to go away. So I don't know if she's like just, I want people to be as mentally healthy as possible, but I don't know. The limelight isn't for everybody. So I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about that. I mean, I would hope that she's a hell of a talent. So I'd like to see her come back and be able to do what she loves. But if there's, you know, other things that kind of prevent that, you got to look out for yourself. So maybe pro wrestling isn't conducive to your mental health. I don't know.
You also think about that gimmick and what that takes to be Smiley Kylie.
Yeah.
Like to have like that Bailey gimmick, how even when you're down, you have to put on a smile and a face and a personality that you might not feel like doing that day. So who knows? Maybe part of her therapy is, look, it's this character that you portray that's like making you feel these things because you don't get to be who you are. So who knows? We may see a different Kylie Rae.
I would say heel Kylie Rae, but would that be like heel Bailey?
I don't think she'd be as corny as Bailey. Or forced to be as corny as Bailey.
Dude, turn Bailey back face, because that shit is not, that shit she did at WrestleMania. I'm like, please go back to being a face.
Well, now she gets. Well, now she's in a program with Miss Bianca Belair. So, oh yeah, we didn't talk about that. What do you guys think about Cesaro being the one to step up to Roman Reigns now?
That was bogus when dude just walked out the ring when he got in there. That was great.
Dude, Reigns is an awesome heel. I mean, he don't have to do shit. Just like, he just disregarded him, just like, bitch, get out my face, and just walked away. Like, okay. That's good heat shit.
I was like, wow, that's how you feel?
He's like, I'm not even going to. He didn't even dignify his question with an answer without even saying a word. He just walked away. I'm glad that Cesaro's getting his opportunity, but we all know how it's going to end. I just hope that it elevates Cesaro, you know, to a main event scene, because people have been clamoring for that for years. And I don't think Cesaro would disappoint anybody.
Yeah, I would like to have seen it when it was Cesaro with the size. He's lost a lot of size. That I feel like if he was still where he was like 2 years ago, it would look more impressive. But now he looks, and we know he's not frail, so it's not disrespectful to say he looks frail going up against somebody like Roman Reigns, supposed to be like the Greek god of WWE right now, or Samoan god, I should say. But I am glad to see them finally at least believing in him enough to give him a pay-per-view main event with Roman Reigns, even though it's to go in there and get destroyed.
Well, I think of all people, I think Cesaro would probably put up a really good fight against Roman Reigns, though.
How many times does Roman get swung?
Shit. He ain't gonna swing Roman more than... I'll give him some credit. No more than 10. That's being kind of generous. Roman's a big dude.
Did you guys see the Twitter exchange between him and Baron Corbin?
No.
So, Baron Corbin tweeted to Roman Reigns, "Is Uncle Rock the real head of the table? Something." And so Roman replied, "I think he said, this is the last time I'm going to tweet you, so you better love it," or something like that. And then he said that, "Since The Rock is your uncle, that makes me your daddy."
All right, well, that's pretty much all I got for SmackDown that I cared about that show. So, besides, like I said, Bayley going up against Bianca Belair, which it gives Bianca something to do, and at least they're not putting up against somebody like Carmella or something like that. They're putting up against the four horsewomen. So, yeah. Which actually may be what they end up doing with Charlotte. Charlotte was suspended from Raw. She could pop up on SmackDown. But who knows?
Well, if it does that, we can finally get the Charlotte versus Bianca Belair match that probably should have happened instead of her and Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, because now it doesn't matter what brand Charlotte is on. I hadn't thought about that. Her boyfriend isn't there. Her fiance isn't there.
There is no brand extension.
And then as far as NWA is concerned, Nick Aldis is continuing his Strictly Business thing, and they're kind of doing what Chris Jericho was talking about with the Inner Circle, where he feels they're getting stale and they need to bring in some new blood. So he has a open exhibition challenge for anybody who wants to make it into Strictly Business. And on this week's episode, they had Jordan Clearwater come in to try his best with Nick Aldis, of course, coming up short.
From New Japan Strong. Jordan Clearwater.
Yeah, so they're still continuing to try to build out their women's division the best they can. They had Camille taking on Genocide over there on over there on the NWA Power Surge. I still always want to call it Power. It's called Power Surge now. And Aaron Stevens and Junior Kratos defended the NWA World Tag Team titles. And they actually retained them. So they're set to take on Sal Renaro and a mystery partner. So you check that out. And Trevor Murdoch is going to be taking on Chris Adonis. He demanded a face-to-face with him. So that's probably going to be happening.
Did I miss NWA? Are they supposed to have a return pay-per-view, or did that pass?
That happened. Bro. That was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Anything of note happen?
No, not really. Just a couple of title changes. That was when Trevor Murdoch lost the NWA National Championship to Chris Adonis, and that's why he was calling him out, because he wants to try to get his title back. And that's also when, I think that's when Pope won the NWA television title as well. So
I have to go back and find it then, so I can take a look at it.
Yeah, because you know the Pope is managed by Austin Idol now, so. Which is interesting because the Pope can talk, so to have him. Oh, sorry, I'm wrong. Tyrus is managed by Austin Idol, but they're beefing with Pope. Which you all know who Tyrus is, the Funkasaurus.
See.
That's the match we need, the Funkasaurus versus Jinder Mahal.
The match that nobody wants to see.
But yeah, that's pretty much everything that I have to run down for the week. Unless you guys got anything else, I think we're done. All right, go ahead and give us your social medias.
You can catch me at Xavier Mustafa on Facebook and on Twitter. You can follow my solo podcast, XM Cinema, wherever you get your podcast fix. And you can also follow my social medias, XM Cinema on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram.
XM Cinema still a thing?
Hush.
What was the last thing you put on there?
It is the thing. Hey, some stuff is ready to go up right now. Okay.
Let me go see what XM Cinema has been up to. Go ahead, Chris Black. I'm going to go look up.
You can catch me at The Natural Chris Black on Facebook and on Instagram, or at @the_natural_CB on Twitter. Also, check out the YouTube channel, The Natural Chris Black, where I cover all of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the best pro wrestling on the planet.
Oh, yeah, I did miss some XM Cinema content from December 16th, 2020. You win some, you lose some. But anyway, catch me at SlamcastTE78 over on Twitter. You can also find us wherever you get your podcast from. Obviously, you found us here, but be sure to share us with your friends and they can listen to us on their favorite podcasting platform. Also, be sure to join our YouTube page. It is completely different content over there than what you get over here. We post a lot of movie reviews over there, a lot of classic wrestling content reviews in regards to biographies and different things like that. We got Dark Side of the Ring starting back up in May. And so episodes will start going up of that. We also have the A&E Legends series, I believe it's called, or Icon series or whatever it is that we'll be reviewing. They just had the Stone Cold Steve Austin was the first episode. They talk about pretty much how they almost botched the Stone Cold Steve Austin storyline. So that's going to be very interesting to talk about. We also have our Saturday Night Slamcast official Facebook page. Be sure to join that and join our Slamcaster Slam Board over there on Facebook as well, where you are able to interact with us. Links for everything will be down in the description. And then one more shameless plug. I already mentioned our YouTube channel. Make sure you go over there and support that movie review that we posted with Immortal Girlfriend, and be sure to check out their content. Other than that, we up out of here. Holla at your boys. Come get slammed. Peace.